We're going to read a short story in Luke chapter 11. No, not 11. 17. It's going to start in verse 11. I knew there was an 11 in there somewhere. If you want to open up to Luke chapter 17, I want to talk about the subject of thankfulness and gratitude. We're going to really spend our time looking at a few verses in Colossians, but I want to open up with this story. It's a well-known story on the concept of being thankful. And I was talking with someone this week about in the nature of putting together lessons and ideas and how sometimes if you have an abstract thought, if you get a story or a person who has a story, you can carry that through. And so I was talking to them, trying to help them out, and I came home and was talking about this lesson with Heather, and she said, we need to talk about the 10 lepers. And I realized, well, that I do. Of course, any story that my wife would have thought of, I would have felt compelled to use. But how many thankfulness stories can we put into this? In fact, I've done this sermon before, and I cut out all of those because it was so long. And so it's Heather's fault if this is long tonight. I don't get to say that very often. But looking at this story of the 10 lepers, that's going to be, we can keep thinking back to the 10 lepers and the concept of gratefulness or gratitude as a way of having something concrete as we consider the idea of thankfulness. As far as looking for pictures of 10 leprous men, we're lucky that these guys are wearing as much clothing as they are. I don't know why. Leprosy is not, it's not an attractive disease anyways, and artistic renderings make it even more so. But in Romans chapter 21, thankfulness shows up in a way that kind of surprised me. It was before I heard a discussion about Romans chapter 1, verse 21, I hadn't considered, really had not taken the time to consider the importance of thankfulness in the Christian heart. I always just saw it as a natural idea or a given. It's what we are as Christians. We're going to be thankful. It's not something to worry about. And then it turns out that most of those ideas that you think are that way are not that way. And we need to have thoughts about it. We need to have concerns about it. But Romans 1:21 really emphasizes that. In the great chapter that shows that the whole world went crazy in leaving God, step one was, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But, and the rest of the chapter continues. Now, thankfulness isn't the first step, but it's absolutely tied into that first step. They did not honor God, and they did not give thanks to him. You're not going to give thanks to someone you don't honor. We see how they're tied together. And I just think that that's such a fascinating idea. When you look at the stories of the Old Testament, stories of people who fail, stories of people who rebel, not thanking God isn't what I think of first. I see idolatry and building the wrong things and doing the wrong things and being selfish and being proud. But Paul is letting us know that thankfulness is connected to all of these things in a very intimate way. In fact, the way I have thought about thankfulness is that it's tied to all these other subjects. And so when we see thankfulness, it's almost always tied to another big idea. Here, they didn't honor God or give thanks. You can't thank God without the honor. And if you honor God, if you revere God, an immediate reaction is going to be thanks. And so thankfulness and thanksgiving, it doesn't really exist on its own. It feeds and is fed by all these other ideas. And in Luke 17, starting in verse 11, we have this little story. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well, or your faith has saved you. And so this man returns and gives thanks, and we see all sorts of ideas that are connected to it. We could spend a lot of time in this one story, but just the praise, he falls on Jesus' feet. That sort of falling down is a word that can be translated worship. There is praise to God. There is faith that is expressed by Jesus' own words. So this thanksgiving that this one man has is a big deal. So what's with the other nine? Were they just ugly people? Were they simply selfish? You know, what does it mean to be selfish when you've been cleansed of something that kept you from everyone and kept you from your family, and you want to go back and you can now take care of your family? And there's all sorts of selfless thoughts can be connected to that. I think it's really interesting to think about the importance of taking thankfulness and putting it into our lives, in interjecting it into the times when we would just do our own natural thing in our own way. And I think that that's the breakdown or the difference between these men. And so this one man turns around and expresses thanks in a big way. If you turn to Colossians, we're going to start by looking at one use of the word thanks in chapter 4, and then really spend the rest of our time looking at it in chapter 3. In chapter 4, verse 2, Paul is finishing his letter, and it really sounds like that. He starts listing this and this and that and this and that, and he says in chapter 4, verse 2, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." So that's the verse, right? That's the idea. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. The point of this verse is not thanksgiving. The point is prayer. It's about prayer, but thanksgiving is drawn in. Actually, with all these verses, the point is not really ever, this is a verse about thanksgiving. It's about something else, but thanksgiving is brought into it. And so we have someone who needs to continue steadfastly, this persevering persistence to make the effort to talk to God, to turn around like that one man did, and speak to God and to praise Him, being watchful in it, having this strict attention, being careful and mindful of it. That watchful word there in verse 2 is the same word that's used in Acts 20, verse 31. I can't remember which of the words there when Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders, but there were those three different words of being watchful and mindful and of the flock. This is that same watchful in your prayer. And so this is a very active engagement, and we're doing it with thanksgiving. We're serious, we're devoted, and we're doing it with thanksgiving. We're thankful in our prayer, and we're thankful because of prayer. We're thankful by prayer. Thankfulness and prayer are inherently hand in hand. They're absolutely combined together. By Christ, who has made this new and living way, by Christ, who is our mediator, we can pray. So the very fact that we can speak to God and have this direct connection to Him through Christ, there needs to be the sense of how grateful we are that we can even speak to Christ at all, speak through Christ to God at all, and that He listens to us. Our prayer is going to be in confidence. And how can we be confident? How can we trust in God? But we know what He's done for others. We know what He's done for people in the Bible. We know what He has done for us in our own lives. That's going to come out with this thankfulness. And this prayer is a behavior of a thankful heart. And so if you're praying, nine times out of ten, it means you're a thankful person. Now, you might be selfish, you might be a jerk. You can learn how to pray that way in James chapter 4. That's not an instruction of how to pray incorrectly, but it's a description of people who were praying a whole bunch, but they weren't thankful and grateful, and they didn't have the right heart. But if you're reaching out to God, it's a demonstration of a thankful heart. And so it's tying all these things together. I really like this quote from Mr. Craig Barnes. I don't even know who the guy is. I don't even know where I found it. But you can find it on the internet because I double-checked it again recently. "I doubt there is such a thing as a measure of spirituality, but if there is, gratitude would be it. Only the grateful are paying attention. They're grateful because they pay attention, and they pay attention because they are so grateful." It's that mindfulness that we need to have. And when we are mindful, we're going to see the things that are going to feed our desire to thank God. And this is an across-the-board kind of an issue, especially the more our thumbs are flipping through phones or we're scrolling through these ideas and we get fast images and fast delights and fast everything. We need to figure out how to unplug ourselves from all of that and find a way of being mindful and grateful for the things that we do have. And that takes a lot of work. It's going to be absolutely rewarding, though. And so Paul is saying we need to be praying and watchful in it and have thanksgiving. Does that mean that this one leper was paying better attention? Does that mean that this one leper was more watchful? I think the other nine guys noticed that they were cleansed. So what was it that he was paying attention to? I think that that's a fun question to think about. Was he paying attention to himself better, or to Christ better, or to his spiritual needs better, or to his hope? I don't know how to answer that question. But what was that one man mindful of and thinking of that was driving him to this thankfulness that the other nine didn't? They got wrapped up in something, is my understanding. That's my guess of it. And so now we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3, 15, 16, and 17. And we're going to see in these verses, again, these are not verses that says, thankfulness is dot, 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 but rather, these are going to be different ideas that are all going to have their roots in thankfulness, or they're going to have fruit in thankfulness, and we're going to see all that coming together. I'm going to begin by reading in verse 12, so that we're not just jumping in the middle of a paragraph. Verse 15 begins with the word and. So let's go back to 12 and get a bit of a context. This is the chapter where Paul said, put on the new self. You've been raised with Christ. You need to put on this new self. You need to be thinking of the things above. And then in 5 through 11, he says, put off the junk. And he says now here in verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In 15 and 16 and 17, thanks or thanksgiving or thankfulness, some form of that word is right there, and it's just a few verses later that he tells us to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And so Paul is really hammering these ideas home. He wants us to think about it. And he opens it up with this interesting, almost passive, let this thing in. But if you let, verse 15, if you let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, that's not just lazily opening a window and letting the bugs start coming through into your, you know, if you let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, this is a very active, decisive mood. This is, I am doing this. I'm going to let Christ rule in my hearts. And the key there is, Christ doesn't force himself on us. He's knocking at the door, and he's ready for us to open that door in. He could do anything he wants to do with us if he wanted to rule us that way. But we need to let him in. If we let him in, this is active. This is a strong choice. We're letting one rule us rather than another. Romans 6, 16, you're going to have to serve somebody. And so we are opening the door for Christ to come in, and we're letting his peace rule in our hearts. I think one illustration here is one of the best ways to show your gratitude to somebody is that if they give you a gift, you actually use the thing. And so somebody gives you, this is the time-saving, labor-saving kitchen gizmo. And you're like, oh my stars, this thing is a mess and it's never going to work. I don't want to use this. And so you pull it out. You try to make some sort of, like a noodle out of a squash. So you make these things and it shows your gratitude that somebody gave you a thing. If you let the peace of Christ rule your heart, you are being grateful that what he is now your dominant force. He is the helpful gift and you are using him. When we let Christ into our hearts and he gives us smooth paths to walk on, we now know where we're going to go. When anger builds like flames on the side of your face, you choose the peace of Christ. This is no easy feat. It requires the union of our body and our soul and our mind and meditating on Christ to make peace your master. This is one of the hardest things for the child of God to do. I am ruled with the iron fist of peace in the face of trouble. And so we use that. We use what Christ has given us. And that is a very grateful behavior. Besides, we're going to use that to rule in our hearts. This is, I can't quote it off the top of my head. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. There is this callback in this to this earlier part of the paragraph of this isn't just an individual thing. This is all of us together. And I think that this is really interesting. Verse 12, compassionate hearts. Verse 13, bearing and forgiving. Verse 14, putting on love. And so then we let this peace of Christ rule in our hearts, my heart, your hearts, all of our hearts combined together. The peace of Christ rules not just the heart of man, but the heart of men, all of us together. And we have the peace of Christ ruling us. That is our guide. It soothes and cools our difficulties. When I need to forbear with you because you're bothering me, but I really need to get over it, I need the peace of Christ to rule in my heart. When I'm doing the same thing at you guys and I'm bothering you, you need the peace of Christ to rule in your heart so that we can work toward these things together. Ephesians 4:3, the letter that is so similar to this letter, says that we must be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Peace is what binds us. And so we have all this. We need to let the peace of Christ in. That's what we've been called in with one body, and be thankful. So my big question, and I don't know if I have good answers in this lesson yet, but it's what I'm thinking about, and it's what I want all of us to be really thinking about. Why? Why be thankful? Every time the word thankful is showing up in these verses, I start to ask why. We're thankful for this peace. We're thankful that this gives us a righteous and clear rule. Christ has given us boundaries that we can live within, and knowing what those boundaries are, we can live a flourishing and full life. The boundaries next to the flower garden means I know exactly how close I can get with my weed eater. But if that little edging piece of stone isn't there, I'm really afraid I'm going to cut down the flowers or cut down the tomatoes. But that boundary gives it a nice, easy way of knowing here's where I am and here's what I need to do. That boundary doesn't constrict. It gives me the liberty to do the job well, and so that we can be bold and be fruitful. The thankfulness helps us to be fruitful. The thankfulness is part of the fruit, I guess. Thankfulness is the means of allowing Christ to rule in our hearts. Were the 9 lepers living without peace? I don't think they're reckless. They don't seem to be violent. But there's something in that desire to go rather than what if I turn around for 2.5 minutes to thank the guy that healed me? It would take a lot of peace to control the excitement. Sometimes we think about peace as the opposite of hatred or anger. If you're that excited, you need the peace to calm down, to turn around and thank God. Maybe that's what they were needing. I think that these are interesting things to think about. And so in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Verse 16 is not a verse about how to church. Verse 16 is talking about what I and what you need in us. Verse 15, we need the peace of Christ in us and to rule in us. And verse 16, we need the word of Christ, and we need it in us, and we need it richly. The logos, we need that to be the living thing within. In the beginning was the Logos, was the Word, and that Word was God. It was with God, and it was God, and He is the one who is the living bread, and we need to eat that bread, and that is the bread of life. That's the one that will sustain us. We need Him in us. Word is the idea of idea. We need the very way that God communicates will. What does God think about? The only way we know is by word, and we take word into us, which means we have God's thoughts in us, and we want to fill ourselves up with God. We need to give it residence within our bodies. Every fiber of our being needs to be filled up with word. We need to taste it on our tongue and in our belly. And that's actually an image that shows up in Revelation. John eats the scroll, and it has a flavor in his mouth, and it gives him, well, in that instance, an upset stomach, but it's a strong word that he is eating, and he makes it a part of all of him. We fill our bodies, leading our heart and mind to teach and admonish. You know, we've filled ourselves up with these things richly. When you look up that word richly, it means someone who's rich or richly. I mean, it's not an exciting word, but it's absolutely connected to riches and fulfilled. So we have just this entire wealth of God's words and ideas in us. And when we filled ourselves to bursting point, we then burst out into song. We teach and we admonish with song. And that's the idea. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, Jesus teaches in Matthew 15. If you're suffering, you're going to pray. If you're cheerful, you're going to sing. Is this talking about regular, formal, congregational song? To me, it sounds more eruptive, which is definitely the idea that James is talking about. He isn't saying, wait till everyone in church is in a good mood and then start a song. He is saying, when you are cheerful, sing praises. Freely you received, freely give. We've received these riches, and they are going to overflow out of us. Now, the problem with that is that we don't want to look dumb. And I tell you what, King David looked dumb in the eyes of Michael when she looked out the window and she saw her husband just loving God. And she thought he looked dumb. Or whatever synonym you want to put in there. She looked on him with scorn, with disdain, distaste, making a fool of himself. You can just try to picture that in your mind. And so we have all of these earthly issues that come in and cloud us to keep us from singing or singing aloud, or I'm not that good of a singer, or you don't want to hear me, or all those sorts of ideas. And so we have really worthless, not that important, world things that come in and cloud the fact that we should be filled with the word in such a way that it's going to come out of us. And it needs to come out of us with this thankfulness. Why? Again. Well, if you're singing without thankfulness, then we are talking about, and I don't mean this to be sounding too rude, then we are talking about formal church singing. It is easier to sing without thankfulness and without a full heart at church because of the rhythm, and we're here, and it's an early Sunday morning, and I didn't get ready on time, and I already know the songs, and I don't even have to turn to the page. It's amazing, if you closed your songbook, that you know all the songs. You know all the songs, and you're singing them not even knowing that you don't know what you're doing. Or at least I am. And so we need to have this thankfulness in our heart. We have to be serious and directed about it because this is the fruit of our lips. This is the praise. This is the thanks. This is the admonition. This is the sharing. And it is a choosing to do this. It's a deliberate act. Much like how we like to say love is a verb. Yes, love is a reaction. Love is a feeling. Thankfulness is a verb. Thankfulness is an act. Activity. It's a choice. It's a decision. So do the nine lepers hate song? It doesn't say that the guy was singing, but you see the connection here. Maybe they were embarrassed. Maybe that Jesus is too big. I don't know what it was. But we can understand these connections about all the things that get in our way or that might get into our way. And so we need to think about the way that Thanksgiving mixes all of these things together. It's so easy to forget about being thankful. It's so easy to think that thankfulness is natural. We have to work on it as a habit and as a practice and a behavior. So again, starting in verse 15, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever you do. So we have let the peace of Christ come in and dominate and rule. The iron fist of peace makes my decisions. And I have filled myself up with the words and the ideas and the heart of God so that it's bursting to come out. Now, every behavior that I do, whether I say something or act and move in something, it's all going to be in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, of course it is. If I'm letting his peace rule me and I've filled myself up with his words, well, what could I possibly do that would not be in the name of the Lord? And why do we need this reminder? Maybe verse 17 is going to get us more motivated to go back and try to do verses 15 and verses 16. How do I get everything? What do you mean everything in the name of the Lord? Brush my teeth in the name of the Lord? How do I do that? Get a job in the name of the Lord? How do I know if this is the job that God wants me to do? And we can get ourselves stressed out. And so we go back to 15 and 16 and we consider these things. Well, let Christ's peace rule me. Let Christ's words fill me. And those things are going to come out in the right way. And if I am being thankful in the Lord, then we will do those things well. By this, with peace reigning, with the word dwelling, we will do well. Galatians 2 verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That is a verse of thanks. This is not some vague corporate church command here in verse 17. Make sure that everything you do at church is in the name of the Lord. Because if we think about verses in that way, it's easy to, I can personally hide and not stress out about verse 17. Verse 17 is written for me. Verse 17 is written for you. It also applies to all of us together. But we need to see these verses as Dan Bunning has to start doing this thing. And if I start working on doing this thing, it's going to fill me up in the way that God wants me to be filled up and help fill each other so that our church is filled that way as well. Giving thanks to God through Jesus. We live with righteousness around us. We live with justice around us. Now you go out into the world, you go out into our country, and you might think that there's no righteousness and there's no justice there. But you look at the way the psalmists wrote about the way that God cared for them, even in the face of their troubles. And they recognized that God surrounded them with righteousness and justice. God put them in a wide open space. That's one of the images that the psalmist gives. I have a wide space in front of me. I can walk. I can move. I know who I am because of God. And we're thankful. We're living our best life this way. And we're living it by him and by choice, that peace and that word. Of course we're going to give thanks because of how we can live and how we can walk. Again, this is this proactive, it's a decisive, I want to do this thing. Which of the 10 lepers lived a proactive choice? The 9, they say, oh my goodness, and they run off to tell the priest, or they run off to go do this thing. And the 1 slowed down to make decisions and make choices. I'm going to run off in about 2.5 minutes, but first I'm going to turn around and say, dear God, thank you. And then he runs off. I don't think he ran any slower. But there is decisiveness rather than simply reacting to the things that are around us. I think that this is a very big deal. I'm going to read 15 through 17 and then 4:2. And then we'll look at a psalm. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to in the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then in chapter 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. This is what we're needing to be active in. Thankfulness draws and pulls together so many of the generic Christian attitudes or generic Christian behaviors that we need to be mindful of. And I think that that is a helpful way of seeing all these things tied together. I want to close by looking at Psalm 138. It's simply a psalm that has a lot of thanksgiving in it. And the reasons for thanks are provided in it as well. So let's read Psalm 138, and the lesson will be yours. I will give thee thanks with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praises unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and give thanks unto thy name for thy loving kindness and thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day that I called, thou answered me. Thou didst encourage me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall give thee thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord be high, he has respect unto the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. I like the way it closes. The Lord is going to perfect or complete or bring to fullness all the things that we're trying to do. God's mercy is forever, and we're asking that he will not forsake the works of his hands. We are the works of his hands. God, don't leave us alone. You've made us, keep making us, and help bring us to that perfection that he wants us to be and that we are hoping to be. So my prayer for all of us is that we will be mindful of gratefulness and thankfulness, find ways of thinking about it, find ways of connecting that word with different Bible ideas. Connecting these different concepts in the Bible is only going to get us more interested and more active in these thoughts. And I don't know if you need help with that, or if you have troubles that you need prayer for, or maybe even something that you need that's good in your life and you want help in thanking God for those things. We are all a family here that pray together. We love to pray together. If there's anyone who needs help or prayers tonight, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing.
The roll is caught up yonder, be there. When the roll is caught up yonder, the roll is caught up yonder. Labor for the master, the dawn till setting sun.
Let us
talk of all his wondrous love and care.
Then when all life is over
and our work on earth is done, the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, roll yonder, the roll is called up yonder,
when
the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I want to thank you for being here this evening. I want to thank you for encouraging me. I hope you are encouraged as well by the songs, by the prayers, but especially by the lesson, that it would make you stand up more upright as a Christian, that it would make you stronger and bolder to speak to the world about the love of God. Because guess what? There's not a lot of people talking about real love out there anymore. A lot of people talking about false love and fake love and pieces of love. But the love that we have from God is complete. It's total. And sort of, how be it to us to not share it? That would be wrong of us, because we know the truth. So let's take what Dan gave us today to think about and then share it this week. Share it with those who are hungry to hear about what God has done for them. Hope you have a great week. Thank you for the prayers while I was gone. I have no idea if I'm going to be gone again real quickly. The other engineer quit Friday because he's tired of traveling so much, which I get. And so I'm the only engineer now in the company who can go out and do the work of that stuff. So be praying for the work that I'm doing as well. Kind of an interesting time to be the old guy there, and the young guys are quitting because they're traveling too much. I'm like, wait a minute, what about me? But you know what? There's a lesson there about us as walking as Christians. Do not grow weary. Whether you're older, whether you're younger, whether it's hard, whether it's easy, do not grow weary in following our Lord. Hope you have a great week. Let's pray together.
Let's go to our Lord. Dear Father in heaven, we are thankful to come before you. We're thankful that we have access to your throne through Christ, who gave up his body for us so that we might be saved. We thank you, God, that you not only offered that sacrifice, you did it willingly because you wanted to save us despite our sin. Father, you've given us very many things to be thankful for. If we just look at your word honestly, you've just been so gracious and generous to us. Father, please help us to remove the purities from our hearts so we might see the truth clearly. Help us to be thankful. Father, help us to then share the generosity that you've given us with others, especially by sharing your word. Thank you, God, for this congregation here. Help us to continue to build each other up, to help each other be strong, to correct each other when necessary, but help us to do that also with love. Thank you, God, that we can come to you in prayer. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen.